as we pay attention to ourselves as getting through life as a master link for God. Throughout this whole year, it's 2014, our year of commitment, Vingrove Baptist Church. You see, I can only make an individual commitment. No one can make me make a commitment. God comes into our life through His Holy Spirit. We've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And then through that relationship, you see, the Christian walk and the Christian faith is a pure relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not rules, regulations, it's relationships. So what I wanted to do was do a series of messages that tie in to our relationship. And our relational health is what I've called it. I want us to pay attention to who we are. Too often, our relational health, now that simply means relational health with you and your spouse, relational health at work, school, on the job. It's how we relate to other people or we relate to one another. Well, in order for us to truly understand that when Jesus Christ pours His Spirit out within us and we become a relative and we have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, I'll tell you, I'm not a religious person. The name religion, it just drives me crazy. I am a Christian. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The world wants to call Christians a religion, fine. But you and I need to understand Christianity is a relationship. And when I'm out here in the world of sin, it's just me. When I'm under conviction by the Holy Spirit, all I have to do is realize that God is wanting a relationship with me. God allowed you and I to be born so that we would have a relationship with Him. God says, I love you. I want a fellowship with you. I want you to understand how much I love you. You'll come to me. I will give you rest. Well, when we are under conviction by the Holy Spirit and we say yes, as Jacob did this morning and all of us who are born again, and when we say yes, then that's when the Holy Spirit becomes a part of us, the real me and the real you in here. Meaning wherever you take this body, Holy Spirit's going to go with you. Wherever you go, Jesus is going to be there. And when we look at our life as an individual who has accepted Christ and accepted our calling from Him, whatever it may be, we become a master link. We have the master in us, but we are only a link. And then we link together with different Christians. And as we link together with different Christians, we become the body of Christ, His church. That's what the walk with Christ is about. You and I having a personal relationship, linking with other Christians, and then going to the world united in the love of Christ, and we present Christ. For the ones that I would not be able to share Christ with because of personality reasons or whatever, God will make sure that in His earthly body, the church, that there will be so many multiplicity of personalities to the point you can't count them. How do I know that? Because He said there's no two ever going to be alike. You know, I'll always look at that in amazement, understanding God's word that, you know, but I just kept it in one generation. I thought, yeah, I guarantee you nobody will ever be like me. And I guarantee you there's some out there that hope nobody else will ever be like me. But think of this. Think of this. As individual Christians, individually serving Christ, we come together. And as we come together, let's say you have a grouch that wants to hear about Jesus. What do? You send a grouch. I mean, we relate. We relate. If you want to go speak to Marines about Jesus Christ, what do? Send me or Tim. God says, I have a calling for you, individual, a calling for you. And that calling I want as my body of my son on earth. I have a blessed duty. I have a blessed ministry. Christian, everyone who has said yes to Jesus Christ, you think about how important you are to your church family, how important you are then to all those God's going to send your way. And God said, I'm going to send the ones directly to you, 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 and you that you can relate to. Tell them about me. Tell them about how much I love them. That's the ministry of God's church on earth. You and I, every one of us, are ministers. We're either good ones or we're poor ones, but we're ministers. We will either minister the word of Christ to a lost and dying world, or we won't. Now, when I said yes to Jesus Christ, I was not forced to say yes to him. As the Holy Spirit comes within us, we understand I need this relationship with Jesus. It's what we call under conviction. Only the Holy Spirit can convict. You and I have not been given the authority by God to go out and convict people of their sins. You go out and many will try to convince people. I want to convince you to accept Christ. An individual cannot truly accept Christ unless they're under conviction by the Holy Spirit. You can't go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to save this group right here. Well, for one thing, I never have saved a person. Neither have you. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not of us. It is of the Lord. And God said, I'm going to send you, and I want you to represent me with skin on. I want you to go out there, and I want you to talk to the individual that I will lead in your direction. But then the Lord says, I want you to use some wisdom doing that. Now, too often, Christians seek knowledge. They work on intellect. Preachers read books that they say is going to make them wise. No. Books don't make you wise. Holy Spirit makes you wise. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ makes you wise. I know a whole lot of extra, what we'd call extra smart people, and they know everything about just about anything. If you don't believe me, just ask them about anything. But you have to help them walk across the street to keep them from getting out there. Christ says that it is not your intellect. It is that you are my elect. I will give you wisdom. I cannot get wisdom of the world. You know, I wrote in my article, I think, this month that you know, you can have all the degrees to the point to call you Dr. Fahrenheit. You know, you can get all of that, but without wisdom, what good is it? Without the wisdom of God. You see, life is about who Christ is. Life is not about my human brain, physical knowledge. Life is eternal. Life is a gift direct from God, and he says, and I will take care of you throughout life. People say, how long is that going to be? Well, the Lord says, forever and ever and ever. Now, that's a long time. Forever has no ending. Eternity, infinity. You know what? Think of it. God says, you belong to me. You remember how Jesus was right after he was betrayed, and his statement to one of them, one of the women, I want you to go when Peter comes to go talk to Peter. When he comes to his senses, tell him, here's where I will be. Now, all of us are just like the Apostle Peter. We have a horrible case of the stupids quite often. Peter had the zeal to serve the Lord, but Peter had not thought about how powerful the leading of the world and of Satan truly is on us physically and mentally. I do not serve the Lord mentally. I serve the Lord spiritually. God speaks to our heart. And people say, how does that work? I don't know. Accept Jesus and ask him. I do know this. One day you and I will know. And we will know as we are known. Right now you and I just look through that glass dimly. We can't see it all. What if you could see it all? Where would faith come in? You know, and look, if individuals say, okay, I have achieved this in life. Of course, the Apostle Paul would never dare say that. I have achieved what I set my mind on achieving. Well, good for you. But your mind, your brain, is all going to rot in that hole. We're going to stick you when you leave. Right? Your spirit, who you really are, lives forever. You're going to get a new body. That's exciting. But right now, you and I have a ministry to take care of on planet Earth. And in this ministry of ministering to the world, of looking at hurt and trying to right the hurt, of looking at the pain and wanting to have within our own heart the touch of Christ so that we can help someone else with their pain. After all, did not the Holy Spirit come into your life and my life? Is it not the Spirit of Christ that works with us through our physical pains, the human emotions, the hurt and the pain? You see, it's wisdom, God says, I'm looking for. And I am the only one, says God, that can give you that wisdom. The focus of your outline is wisdom for a trustful, truthful relationship. Wisdom comes from God. Now, I wrote something I'm going to read you because I want you to catch this. Very important in our walk with Christ. All relationships are built on trust. No trust, no relationship. And all trust is built on truth. If you don't have truth, you don't have trust. If you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. We need to be able to trust one another as Christians. We need to be able to trust one another. That when we are down and we are hurting in the ditch of life, that instead of condemnation, there will be a prayer to raise us up out of that ditch. And it will be the brothers and sisters in Christ who are talking to God about us. If you are not in your prayer life talking to God about relationships, start. For it is the relationship with Christ that will give us wisdom for the relationships here on earth. I know this is going to sound odd to you all, but let me tell you something. 4 years ago, on December the 28th, I went into surgery for prostate cancer. Not realizing the hazards of Agent Orange poisoning and all that from Vietnam. Never once have I ever questioned God. But let me tell you, what God said to me within my spirit after going through this for the past 4 years, the greatest blessing I have received in years is the blessing the day I got cancer. It's the blessing the day that I realized I had herbicidal poisoning inside of me. Herbicidal. That was the beginning for me of a new direction, I knew it, of preaching and all. I see myself now going right back to my beginning when I began preaching at the age of 30, of going back to the warning that God has given that I'm coming and it won't be long. But you see, so many people say, well, it's been said and been said. Listen, let me tell you something. The day you close your eyes and you pass on as a Christian to your Savior, that's the end of your walk on earth in the physical body. That's the end of your opportunity, my opportunity to share Christ with someone else. I can't do it. What do we do? Do we get in paradise and we say, oh, Lord, I wished I had went ahead and followed, and I wish, Lord, that I had preached the messages like you called me. Blessing of cancer. I have looked at my life, and I have found myself woefully lacking in so many areas. And so many areas that I can't count. I realize wisdom is of God. I don't fear leaving this body. I'm excited about it. Anybody that knows me knows that. But neither will I quit and say, it's over, I can't do it anymore. Oh, ain't it going to be a great opportunity one day if I collapse right up here and you'll have to come drag me off? Or Randy Kidder's going to be crying. I've keyed him in on that part. But well, think of that. You and I know the wisdom of God. Meaning, you and I, God has shown that salvation is of Him. Salvation is real. Eternity is real. And serving with Him, even through our brokenness, then we are a real Christian. Well, preacher, I can't get it right. Well, welcome to the ministry. Welcome to Christianity. What's right for me? I don't know. I'm still working on me. Think of it. Is not the Holy Spirit our guide? Is it not someone else through their intellect telling us what we ought to think? I shared with a couple of not necessarily both psychology, but Randy got hooked on Russian language. So, but anyway, I was sharing with them. I love to look back sometime and read about the way it used to be in psychology. That was my major. And I was noticing an article on delusions of grandeur. And then they were saying all that fit this category have a mental disorder. Psychologically, they're a mess. Well, I kept reading. And it said, those who have such delusions are individuals that believe that they have a personal relationship with a deity and that they are to carry through with what that deity tells them to carry through with. Well, right at the beginning, it made me nervous until I realized I got a whole church full. So, you know, if I'm nuts and you're nuts, we're going to all get along just fine, right? But think of that. That's the way the world looks at it. Is it then a definition for the world to say that all those who are Christian, are they psychologically wanting? And what I have to say to the world, because I am a Christian, I'm not wanting in any area of my life. God is in control. And if you want to say that I'm crazy because I believe in a born-again experience, then whoo, I'm one happy nut. And we need to understand your life and my life has been set aside by the Master. That's why we are the Master Link. We have the Master indwelling us. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that touches our life. It is the Word of God that will direct us. You see, the world doesn't understand when they hear the voice because they don't understand the voice of the shepherd. Only the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. And when we have accepted Christ, there's the wisdom. In relationships, it has to be the wisdom of God in order for that relationship to make it. I have never, over the years when I did all the counseling with couples, I never counseled with individuals who had used that spiritual relationship within their marriage. It was never a way it was, you know, sometimes you have them in, oh, she wants to go to church all the time. And I said, that's exactly where you need to be if you weren't so hard-headed, because you don't have any hope outside of it. That's why I quit marriage counseling. But it's an ideal of you and me understanding and sharing with the lost and dying world. There is hope. And in that hope is wisdom. Outside of that hope in Jesus Christ, there is no truth. If there is no truth, there is no trust. If there is no trust, there is no relationship. Simple. If I don't trust Jesus Christ, if I don't trust the Holy Spirit of God, I don't have a relationship. But preacher, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, and I know many times that I have not trusted God. Does that make me less a Christian? No. No more than it made the Apostle Peter less of a Christian when he was walking on water, saw the world raging around him, the battle of life out in the waters, the storm so great. He took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. Is that not the way our lives go? Is that not the way families go? Take your eyes off Jesus. If that were the end, that'd be a sad story. But I want you to remember something. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, empowered within Peter, you and me, and all others who had accepted him, the power to cry out, Lord, save me. And the scripture says, Peter looked up. See, he had already looked down. He saw that he was sinking. He looked up, Lord, save me. And the scripture says, immediately, Jesus grabbed Peter. Peter didn't grab Jesus. Jesus was in charge of the grab. Peter was a child of God. Peter was a soulmate of Jesus. And Jesus was not going to let his family sink. So the relationship within families, within churches, within communities has got to be based on wisdom, not intellect. The very wise from intellect, wisdom of the world, will give that human wisdom to Christ. And let me tell you, you'll have a person like the Apostle Paul. Yep. An individual who says, I was wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. And God is saying, well, Peter, I have a job. Paul, I have a job for you to do. Told Peter that too. Paul, I have a job for you to do. Paul was guilty of murder. He was guilty of blasphemy directly against God. And God told Peter, I have a job for you. Paul, the same way. See, Peter, a fisherman on a boat. I shouldn't have to even tell you any more than that. Before Christ, are we not all sailors? Before Christ, are we not all individuals as sailing in the wrong direction with our life? But after Christ, the change was there, and the change was wisdom. And Paul said, The very things I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. The things that I want to do are the very things that I don't do. And then the truth about your life and my life. Paul says, oh, what a wretched man am I. In this human body, you and I will be on that roller coaster ride of life. And as we ride that roller coaster of life, sometimes it turns our stomach. Sometimes we might hit a few wee bumps. But folks, on that roller coaster ride of life, you will see many vanishing. You will see many that throws up their arms and quit. How many young ministers, young individuals wanting to serve Christ are pulled away because of the world, because of pride, because of I can do things my way for God. You don't have this right, folks. I do not have a right. When God calls me to preach or to teach, I don't have the right to change that preaching or teaching. Wait a minute, Lord, you might have misspelled this word. You know, something may be wrong here. No, no, nothing's wrong. The only thing wrong, it would be with me or the individual who thinks I can, Lord, you stand back and let me watch me do it for you. You'll see what a great Christian I am. No, he's not going to see what a great Christian you are. The greatness must always be given to where it comes from. The voice of life, the Holy Spirit. Don't we understand that we do nothing of our own that can succeed? Within our own life, anything we've attempted to do of turning over our new leaves of life and all of this have never worked. That's because we're thinking our way through this world. You cannot think your way through the world. The world in which we are living is a gift from God. It is His world. And when He sends the Holy Spirit to talk to you, pay attention. Because that's the greatest power you will ever have. And you'll get to the point to where you don't feel any disease. You have no fear of man. As the Lord said, what can man do to you? And many people say he can kill you. Not without God's permission, he can. If God gives him permission, whew, time to go, right? Listen, Christian. The Christian life must be taken as a gift from God. And that walk with Christ for us is held together by the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, we fulfill the scriptures that Jesus let us know about our daily walk with God. Those who know Jesus find themselves in the ditch of life because they left Jesus out of a decision. Not wise. Not wise to do. You mean to tell me that you need to pray about everything you do? Yeah. But see, then, as good, hard-shell Baptists as we are, yes, I prayed about it and told God exactly what I wanted. No, that's not prayer. It's when we give who we are because we understand that in ourselves we are nothing. And then we're so thankful that God even chose to use us. Folks, do you realize how important you are? Those who say yes to Jesus Christ, do you realize how important you are to God? When you did that, Jesus says, I tell you, you are my offspring. Each one of us, we happen to be related to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings as Christians. Is that a psychosis? I don't care. Don't know. because they'll change it next year anyway. One thing I do know, my salvation is real. My salvation is true, but it's real and it's true because of who Jesus is, not in because of what I do or ever have done. The forgiveness comes by the grace of Almighty God. And God says, I love you. I love you way too much to allow myself to trust you, Larry, to the world, or to trust you to yourself. The greatest enemy that you and I will see before us, we can find in a reflection of that. Making excuses of reasons not to serve the Lord. What did you see that preacher over there? That preacher fell. So I don't believe that God exists. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of preachers in the pulpit that do not have a calling by Almighty God to preach. You all know that. But let's say it this way. When God calls you for whatever ministry he calls you to do, you will know at the right time, not your time. You will know. Then you follow him. And even those pastors and preachers who do all they can to follow his will for their life, everyone will falter and everyone will fall into the ditch of life. There's no preacher, including this one or any of us, that hasn't had to battle down in that ditch of life. A lot of difference. A lot of blessings come when you've been down there and knowing that you can go back again. And yet, when you know that God has called you, go down in that ditch and get one of your brothers, one of your sisters. Christian, until you and I get back to the basics of what Christianity is all about, until you and I get back at the foot of the cross, bended knee, open heart, Lord, here's my heart. Please rework it. It's not working right. Pumping the blood, but not the spirit. And then down in that ditch of life, what we thought we would fear, the fear is gone. What we wondered about, we wondered about no more. For in that ditch of life, when you bow down to help a fellow Christian come out of that ditch, or one who does not know Christ to come out of that ditch, I guarantee you, you will see Jesus. It'll be his hand you'll get to touch. He's already there. There's no place that I will ever go that God hasn't already been. But did not Jesus tell us that he was going on back to his home? He came from heaven, going back. You and I came from earth. We're going up. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's personal. And I don't see anywhere in Scripture where Jesus said, y'all. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. The you that he's preparing a place for is the individual who says, God came incarnate physically, that Jesus bodily walked on earth. The Gospel of John or 1 John lets us know that that's how you try a spirit. You want to know whether the spirit is of God or not? If that spirit says and admits that Christ walked on earth, they are of God. And people say, well, that's so easy. Yeah. You talk to a person that don't know Jesus and ask them if they believe that. Try the spirit to see if they're of God. These are trying times in our history. Things are going on in families. We've got more families living outside of wedlock than we have living in wedlock. We have a whole concept of homosexuality. It's going rampant around our world. We see all manner of evil that God calls evil. And God reminds us of something. I died for the lost. Larry Pete, you go get him. Lord, I really don't feel comfortable doing it. God never asked me, do I feel comfortable? When he called me as a prison chaplain, that wasn't my first pick. And when God says, I want you to take my message here, I now know something. That whole period, my whole life since asking God to touch me with the power of his Spirit through his Son in my calling was training. I see it now. All the multiple personalities that I've dealt with, God said, I'll train you. The amazing part, I didn't realize he was training me to become a pastor. You think of that. Where does crime begin? Why do I have so many pastors in this community calling me wanting to know if they can go into jail to see one of their members? 60-some percent of those we had incarcerated in Hardin County at one point, when I asked them what denomination they were of, it was Baptist. Are we missing something from the pulpit? Are we backing away from the truth of salvation and that salvation is of the Lord, not of some other human being? That's not of God. Each one of us need our cancer experience. And you watch God grab hold of your life. And you watch God deal. You don't have to deal with your enemies. I don't even know who they are. You don't have to deal with them. God says, I got this one. You preach, you teach. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing of life. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your calling. Father, and I truly lift up to you a praise of thanks for the cancer and everything else going on with me physically. Because I know, Father, you've got this one. Thank you, Father, that each one within the hearing of our voice will take a few moments, touch their life, Father, that they might seek your wisdom. For without that wisdom, we do know we have no hope. Give to us now your wisdom, your truth for the days ahead. Give to us your love, Father, and please forgive us. Forgive us, Father, for all the sins of the human body and the human existence. And we truly give our heart to you. We ask that blessing now, Father, as you touch each one. In Jesus' name, amen.